Morning. Well, we have these three parables today in the Gospel, and they focus on the great deal that just a little can do. And our Lord talks about the yeast that a woman mixed and how that can affect the whole batch, or how the mustard seed is so small and then grows into this huge plant. But then in that first reading, he talks about the impact that a little bit of evil can do, too. And one of the things that's unique about this particular gospel passage and this particular parable, that first of those three parables we just heard, is that the Lord then explains what he meant. Because he spoke often in parables, but not as often does he then go and explain the parable. And in this explanation, we can learn a few things. The first thing we can learn is that there is a hell. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching or afterwards, people say, you know, we don't hear about hell enough. You know, people, I guess, want to hear about hell. But yes, there is a hell. And there are people there, and they will be there for the rest of eternity. But they are there through the use of their own free will. God does not want them there. God does not like that they are there. But God respects their decisions that wound them up there. Our Lord says this. He says, there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. But I want to come back to hell, but we're going to talk about something a little bit more interesting first, heaven. Because in this parable, our Lord tells us a lot that we can learn about the existence of evil and what he does with it, what he does about it. He is the master of the household who sows the good seed. And our Lord says this in the explanation. He says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, is God. He says, the one who sows the evil seed is the devil. And in the parable, the master says, an enemy has done this. He did not do it himself. God does not sow the evil seed. What does this tell us? Well, God does not directly will evil. God is only sowing the good seed, right? It is the devil who introduces temptation, and then it is we who, exercising our free will, then take hold of that temptation and actually commit sin. But then there's something else we can learn about this parable too, because the slaves come to the master and say, what do you want us to do? Should we go and just pull out all the weeds? And he says, no, don't do that, because if you pull out the weeds, you might pull out some of the wheat as well. So what does he say? He says, let them both grow together, and then at the harvest, which our Lord explains is the end of the world, at the harvest, it'll all be chopped down, we'll separate the two of them, we'll burn the weeds, and of course we'll keep the wheat. And this tells us something too about God's approach to evil and what God does about it. Because again, like I said, God does not directly will evil. God sows the good seed. It's the enemy who comes and sows the temptation. Now, this is the thing, is God allows them both to coexist. Why? Because we might have the same approach sometimes that those slaves had, and we might wonder, well, why doesn't God, you know, looking down from heaven upon the earth, why doesn't he just kind of zap out the evil where he sees it, just kind of uproot it? Because he's God, right? So he can do that. So why doesn't he do that? And this is why. And this is what our Lord is getting at here in this gospel. You know, in order for us to get to heaven, God had to give us free will, right? In order for us to get to heaven, God had to give us free will, because heaven wouldn't be heaven if it was forced upon us. Heaven wouldn't be what heaven is supposed to be and what all of our imaginings of heaven have always been. Heaven wouldn't be that if somehow we were forced there against our will. We have to want to go there. We have to choose to go there. We have to choose to live a life in which we, you know, confirm that choice over and over again through our actions that we want to go there. So God had to give us free will in order for us to be able to get to heaven, right? Because imagine if you were like a robot and all you could do is just the right thing. Well, that wouldn't be to your credit. If you were just created by God so that you only ever did the right thing, well, that's not a choice. You're not responding to God's gift of love with love. You're just doing what you've been programmed to do. There's nothing to your credit, right? So in order for us to get to heaven, which of course God wants all of us in heaven, in order for us to get there, though, he had to give us free will. But in giving us free will, of course, there's also the possibility then that instead of using it to choose the good, that we would use it to choose the evil. So we have the result of sin. We have this evil that's been proposed to us through temptation. We act on it through the use of our free will. Now, God's approach, of course, cannot be just zap out the evil wherever I see it then, because if God were to do that, sure, there wouldn't be any more evil. If God were to just kind of look down from heaven and zap out all the evil, then there wouldn't be any more evil, but there also wouldn't be any more way to do good. There wouldn't be any way to get into heaven. If God were, because the only way God could do is to revoke our free will. If he took away our free will, then you're right, there wouldn't be any more evil. But there wouldn't be any more way for us to get to heaven. We wouldn't be able to use our free will and respond to God's love. And there's something else we can say about this too, is, you know, we human beings, and angels as well, we've all been given free will, right? Now, angels exist outside of time and outside of space, both of which are creatures, properly speaking. So angels exist outside of time and space, and therefore they have free will, but they made their decision once and for all. They chose, they were created in grace, they were created to serve God just as we were, to come to know him and to love him and to serve him just as we were. And they made their choice once and for all. Either yes, I will, or no, I won't. And again, it is through an exercise of sort of free will, but because they exist outside of time, they can't change that. So the angels that said, yes, I will serve, they are the good angels. They're the ones that we call upon. St. Michael especially, you know, St. Michael, the St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, all of our guardian angels. But the ones who said, no, I won't serve, the devil and all of his demons, there, of course, is no repentance possible. It's not that God isn't merciful, it's that they exist outside of time. They had that one chance, and it was either yes or no. Now, we, human beings, we exist within time, right? So we can say no to God and sin, but then we can repent and be sorry and go to confession and be restored to God's good graces. And not that we should do this, but in theory we could do this throughout our entire lives, falling in and out of God's grace, sinning and repenting and sinning and repenting. But the point that our Lord is making here too is that he offers forgiveness all the way until the end. This is why he says, let them grow together until the harvest, which he says is the end of the world, the end of our lifetime at least on earth. Let them grow together, because he's saying, in our case, let them have that one last chance again and again and again to repent. And isn't this what we heard in that first reading from Wisdom? That last line addressing God says, you gave your children good ground for hope that you would permit repentance for their sins. That there's always a chance. So long as we live, brothers and sisters, there's always a chance to say we're sorry, to repent. So I would encourage all of us today, this week, to ask ourselves, what have we been doing to cooperate with God's grace, to cooperate with his mercy? Are we using the free will that he gave us properly so that we can wind up with him in heaven for all of eternity, which we know that he wants for all of us? Or are we using it to choose evil? Are we using it to sin, to fall into temptation? Because we know that there is a hell. Our Lord makes it very clear today. We know that that if we wind up there, it's through our own doing. And yes, in God's justice, he's going to confirm that decision. But are we using it, and if we do fall into that sin, are we then coming back to the Lord in repentance and recognizing that he's giving us chance again and again and again to turn back to him?